Good morning and welcome to Destiny, the open door. I am your host, Tammy Dennis, and I come to you on today with our online prayer sessions, decrees, affirmations, all things inspirational on today. Some of what I do, and most of these years that I've been online and offering everyone the power of God that is within us, is a way to let you all know how special you truly are as a human being. Ye are gods in embryo. What does that mean, Tammy? You are God in action on the planet every single day. You rise and face a new day with such experiences to claim that which God has to offer you. Those of you who are going through battles on the inside, I want you to hear me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you?" That's enough right there, right? Yeah. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Yes, you. I'm talking to you, you who do not know how truly special you are here on the planet with everything that life has brought to this equation of the things that have gone rot. Let your ears be the listener, your eyes be the seer. Let your heart love that which is not innocent. There are a lot of things that are not innocent about life, but in the innocence of everything, let you, your heart, see it with fresh eyes. See everything with fresh eyes now. Because you're changing. All of you are changing each and every day to that which God is calling you to do. God is calling each one in their own right to be forthright in coming, to be that way shower, that way maker, that who brings the peace, that who brings the love, that who brings the healing to all men and women. Those of you who have always been intuitive and knowing, those are special gifts. And so open up your heart to allow for God, the mighty I am, to come into that resolve of you and expand and expand and expand all that is beautiful. All that hasn't been so beautiful, right? Because life does that to us. Life has us going through the murkiness. Life has us going through the changes. Life has us going through each and every day. But God gives us grace, and God gives us mercy to rise above all things. And in that way, the mercies and the grace of God is always shining, always prevailing, and always assured that in the recovery of the self, because our minds are so tired, our minds are stressed with rot, our minds are going through each and every day what our heart can't take. But God sends the light of men. And in that, we must awaken to that which God is calling for us to do. Awake, my children, awake. Alert thyselves in thee, because I am in thee always. So you must be assured that in this day, this brand new day, that God is always with you. He is in you. He is all about you and shining always the light within, without, within you, God, the mighty I Am Presence, is able to just correct thyself, change thyself, adjust thyself, modify thyself. And in all of that, out comes this brand new being who have gone through all of life. And in going through all of what you've been through, looking back now, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70. Wow. You're still here. And why do you think that you are still here? You have survived the most uneventful, the unexcited events throughout life. And you're still here. And so what does that say about you? I arise. I awake. I shine. Because the God within me lives to face a new day of thanksgiving. I arise. I awake. I shine. Because the Lord, He is in me, and I have authority over my own self. What is it about me that needs to change? And if everything about your life you feel does not need a change, then what about you? That expression of you, that sincerity of you. The eyes of God are on you on today. And what is it about you that must change in order for God and you to bless others in that resolve? 1 Corinthians 2:10 states, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So have you searched all over within thee, within yourself, and have found a void? Most of us are walking around with void of heart. Nothing's going our way. But those that, like I just said, don't need changing, don't need fixing, their life is okay, God bless it. Because you have arrived. You don't need changing. You don't need fixing. But it's something about you that is so special, that in that speciality of you, God wants to do more. If you do not need changing, you do not need fixing, God wants to do more. And I did a podcast on expanding thy light, expanding thy territory, expanding thy story. Because each one has a his or her story, right? Yeah. So in the makeup of that, what about your story? Are you able to help another person, help someone else, creatively help them with their life, creatively shape their lives, mold them into that powerhouse that you are? Who is out there among you that is needing the assistance from such a one that is you? We must all see ourselves as greatness. And in the seeing ourselves as greatness, we must humble ourselves in kind, because some of us are walking around and that's all we know is ourselves, right? I read a story on Jonah the other day that touched my life. And it was so poignant to the message that I had to send it to my Telegram. I gotta look for Telegram right now. Send it to my Telegram so that I won't forget it. Yeah. All right. So, it was about Jonah. As a matter of fact, it was about the eclipse that we are going to experience. And it was such a poignant message that I had to just stop and just send it to my Telegram so I wouldn't forget it. The person who sent this was in one of the groups that I am a member of in the Telegram. And it goes like this, the sign of Jonah. God is not a God of coincidence, but the sovereign God of the universe. And so it goes back to August the 21st, 2017. And it says that the USA experienced its first solar eclipse in 99 years that moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. A month later, another major sign in the heavens occurred September 23rd, 2017, when the woman, Virgo, appeared to give birth to Jupiter, the king's planet. This wasn't the first time Virgo had given us a prominent sign. She appeared to give birth to the moon beginning in September of 1996. This occurred approximately on the 120th Jubilee from Adam, September 23rd, 1996. This sign in the heavens repeated four times, culminating in September of 1999. And so it goes on to say, now Abraham was born 1948 years from Adam. So 1948 years from Adam. The covenant with Abraham was made when he was 70 years. The year 2018 from Adam. The Hebrew year 2018 began on September 21st, 2017, just 2 days before the great sign in the heavens, the Virgin giving birth to Jupiter, the king's planet. So the 40 days from 1 Elul to 10 Tishri are known in traditional Judaism as the season of Teshuvah, which means repentance. Specifically, the people were to repent for worshiping the golden calf while Moses was in the mount, receiving the Ten Commandments. Teshuvah celebrates the 40 days of Israel's repentance while Moses was in the mount, receiving the second set of tablets, the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 34. The final 10 days from Rosh Hashanah, the first Tishrei, to Yom Kippur, 10th Tishrei, are known as the Days of Awe. They are final 10 days of Teshuvah, introducing the new year. The Jewish season of Teshuvah began at sunset on August 21st, 2017. On a Gregorian calendar, Elul is the last month of the civic calendar of Judaism. Elul is the sixth month of the religious calendar. The 40-day period of Teshuvah ends on Tishri 10, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. In 1996 to 1999, it was the moon that was brought forth. The moon signifies the church. The moon moved from Virgo's womb to her feet, which also fulfilled the pattern given in Revelation 12:12 I'm sorry, 12, 1, 12, verse 1 and 2. In 2017, it was Jupiter that was brought to birth. Jupiter signifies the coming king, Jesus Christ. The Hebrew name for Jupiter is Zedek, and it means righteousness. And Jerusalem was called the city of Zedek. In fact, the nations throughout history have identified their own capital cities with Jupiter. Jerusalem was no exception. Hence, Jupiter's birth on September 23rd, 2017 can be seen in the general flow of Revelation that began as early as September 1996. The fact that Jupiter was born precisely 21 years after the 120th Jubilee is no coincidence, since 21 is the number of distress in Scripture. We might even see this as a long-term time of birth pangs from one age to another. But in 2017, we saw the child that was born in 1996 to 1999 returning as Mars, the warrior, to overthrow mystery Babylon. There were 8 cities called Salem that were affected by the solar eclipse on August 21st, 2017. Number 1, Salem, Oregon. Number 2, Salem, Idaho. Number 3, Salem, Wyoming. Not mentioned on most maps, just on Google Earth. Number 4, Salem, Nebraska. Number 5, Salem, Missouri. Number 6, Salem, Kentucky. Number 7, Salem, South Carolina. And number 8, Salem, Virginia. What does this signify? Well, first of all, Salem is the Hebrew word for peace. Jerusalem means city of peace. An eclipse has never been a positive sign throughout history. It has always been seen as a sign of judgment or death in some manner. So we might interpret this to mean the death of peace or peace being taken from the earth. Have we seen peace taken from the earth since 2017? Oh my goodness, yes. Which Jerusalem will prevail? Will it be the earthly Jerusalem, which the prophets denounced as the bloody city? Or will it be the new Jerusalem? Or, to use Paul's allegory, will Hagar, Jerusalem, be the mother of the kingdom? Or will it be Sarah, new Jerusalem? Do these 8 Salems of the first eclipse speak of judgment coming upon the earthly, fleshly Jerusalem in order to allow the heavenly Jerusalem to bring forth the inheritors of the kingdom? It goes on to say, Jonah in chapter 3, verse 3-4, states, and I'll turn to that, says, so Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I think this is the new Testament. No, Jonah is the Old Testament. I'm thinking this is the new King James Version. That's what it is. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Ancient Nineveh had their season of repentance. Right? With their introduction to the prophet Jonah, Nineveh heeded the call of the prophet from the top down. The prophet's text speaks for itself in Jonah 3:5-9. And it states, "Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation and said it, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish." Prior to Jonah's arrival, Nineveh may have received a message from above. The path of totality of the Beer-Seggel eclipse, which is one of the most famous solar eclipses in ancient history, occurred just north of Nineveh on June 14, 763 BC, during the reign of King Ashur-dan III of Assyria, and was recorded for posterity in the Assyrian eponym Canon, a series of cuneiform tablets discovered in the 19th century. We know that the prophet Jonah was a contemporary of King Ashur-dan III because of a brief mention of him in the second book of Kings, which places his prophetic ministry during the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. And that is out of Emmett O. Reagan. Jonah apparently stayed in Nineveh. The prophet was respected by the Gentiles in the ancient city. He was buried there. Jonah rested peacefully until ISIS in 2014. ISIS destroyed Jonah's tomb with sledgehammers and explosives. Judgment is not automatic. God is merciful, compassionate, gracious, and forgiving. Even in the Old Testament, keep in mind, these characteristics were demonstrated towards an evil Gentile Assyrian kingdom. Assyria was a historical nemesis to Israel. Jonah 3:10 states, "When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." From a biblical point of view, A solar eclipse is meant as a sign from God. In Genesis 1:14, God declares this to be so. It is a sign that is beyond man's control, something he can't manipulate. Solar eclipses become biblically and prophetically significant and relevant when man understands their timing according to the biblical calendar and where they happen. Then we look for the patterns. Many know the story of Jonah and Nineveh from the Bible, but not the historical background events as to what had already transpired and why they repented. In 765 BC, a plague broke out in Nineveh, where even the king was not able to go out to war as was custom. This was followed by a civil war and then another plague. An archaeological find of the cuneiform tablets was found in the 19th century describing events in Nineveh. The famous Bersagel eclipse mentioned in the tablets is verified by NASA as occurring on June 15, 763 BC. The path of totality was right over Nineveh. God had declared the sun and the moon were for signs, and now the Ninevites saw the wrath of God coming even before Jonah arrived a couple of months later. When Jonah arrived, they were ripe for repentance. This historical background highlights the importance of the timing of the eclipse on August 21st, 2017, in relation to the first Elul, which marked a 40-day countdown to Yom Kippur. Now fast forward to another solar eclipse on August 21st, but this time in 1914. This is the first day of the month of Elul, which begins the month of repentance and God's day timer. The first of Elul is when Jonah began prophesying for 40 days. Just before the eclipse we see on June 28, 1914, through the month of August, the events of World War I began. The path of totality of the eclipse was over Eastern Europe and the Ottoman Empire, or Middle East, including Nineveh again. This was foretelling the destruction of the Ottoman Empire in World War I. Now here we are 7 years later, and we find that there will be another total solar eclipse running from south to the northeast across the United States on April 8th, 2024, with St. Louis in the crosshairs between the two eclipses. April 8th is significant because it is the anniversary of the dedication of Moses' tabernacle, when God reasserted himself into the affairs of men with his glory coming to earth. It just so happens it was also the day Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, died. Such celestial signs should always be viewed as part of a larger pattern. There is also a solar eclipse in the Bible. When Jesus was crucified, there was also a solar eclipse, but it was a supernatural one. Solar eclipses require a new moon. Since it was Passover, it was a full moon. As the day turned to darkness in mid-afternoon and there was an earthquake, isn't it interesting that when the Pharisees and Sadducees asked Jesus for a sign from heaven, he responded with the sign of the prophet Jonah. You wicked and promiscuous generation. You wicked and promiscuous generation. You are looking for signs, are you? The only sign you will be given is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 40 Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, as the Son of Man will spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. Matthew 12:39-40, The Voice. Interesting parallel. The two eclipses in 2017 and 2024 marked a 7-year cycle. But there is also a third eclipse that occurred on October 14th, 2023. Together, the three form an aleph, an old Phoenician Hebrew script from which we also get our A in English language. This Phoenician Hebrew script, Middle Hebrew, was written with wedges. But even earlier, they used Egyptian Hebrew script, early Hebrew, where the Aleph was pictured as the head of an ox or bull. Whatever script one uses, the Aleph itself means an ox, and more broadly, it signifies strength or primacy, being the first letter of their alphabet. Some claim that the Aleph was God's signature. Others view the Tav is God's signature. The eclipses of 2017 and 2024 form a Tav, originally written as an X, but the third eclipse forms an Aleph. Tav means a mark or sign, signature. And this is most evident in Ezekiel 9:4, where God signs his name, mark, is Tav, upon people's foreheads. See also Revelation 22:4. Both letters then appear to be significant. Now we discover that the second eclipse will pass through or near 6 Ninevehs, from Texas to Nova Scotia, Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, Virginia, Nineveh, New York, and Nineveh, Nova Scotia. This brings the sign of Jonah into prominence. Let us focus on the culmination of the Paleo Aleph Tav mark on the United States of America via the triad of solar eclipses over a 7-year time span of 2017 to 2024. Signs are everywhere. The great American eclipse that the United States of America will witness on the beginning of the biblical year, Nisan 1, on April 8, 2024, is one of those signs. For those new to the Aleph-Tav concept, know that Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, while Tav is the last. Therefore, it can carry the meaning of the first and the last, like a first and last draft pick. However, ultimately, Aleph Tav is the first and last, the Almighty who upholds all things by the power of the Word. Just as the Word of God is one of our righteous Messiah's names, so is Aleph Tav, Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha Aleph and the Omega Tav, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first Aleph and the last Tav. Revelations 1:7-11. And the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first Aleph and the last Tav, who was dead and came to life. Revelations 2:8. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first Aleph and the last Tav. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Revelations 22:12-16. It is truly monumental that Creator God is writing his own name, Aleph Tav, that represents the Lord of all of creation, on the United States in its ancient form, Paleo-Hebrew, with all the other signs that go with culmination of the Aleph Tav eclipses. Everyone in the USA and the world needs to be seeking the Lord and repenting of any wicked ways in them, in their families, in their city, in their county, in their state, in their nation, and even the world. Other signs include, but are not limited to, there are 6 years, 6 months, 6 days, 6 days, 6 weeks between the two dates, August 21st, 2017 and April 8th, 2024 of the Great American Solar Eclipse. Next month's eclipse will coincide with a series of biblical towns called Cross, Elijah, Enoch, Flood, Groom, Israel, Jonah, Nineveh, Noah, and Rapture. The way that the planets in our solar system will line up during this 2024 eclipse represents a literal ladder to Christ. Based on the names of the constellations, three fault lines being marked by three ancient Tavs, New Madrid fault line, Balcones fault line, and the Cascadia subduction zone. The total eclipse of April 8, 2024 starts near the islands of Kiribati in the Pacific, tending to make peace, ocean. 4,200 miles from both the Aleutian Islands and Mazatlan, Mexico, where the totality makes landfall on North America, Kiribati was named after Captain Thomas Gilbert, who had delivered the first prisoners from England to Australia and was on his journey home. Kiribati is the way Gilbert is pronounced in the language of Kiribati. Gilbert means a bright will or a bright pledge, the coming of the fullness of the new covenant. The darkness of totality quickly crosses the Pacific and enters the North American continent at Mazatlan, Mexico. This eclipse, along with the one 7 years prior on August 21st, 2017, are a set. As you know, forming a cross or tav, this cross is a promise or bright pledge by the Lord that he is dealing with Mexico, the United States of America, and Canada, placing them under his conclusion or bright pledge of the new covenant. Mazatlan means land of deer and relates to a song from the heart of the overcomer, Psalms 42. Which is also the number of the generation of the overcomers. The beginning of the eclipse was 4,200 miles out in the Pacific from two different points. Totality crosses Mexico from the southwest to the northeast and leaves Mexico at Piedras Negras, Black Hard Stone, and enters the USA at Eagle Pass, Texas, with totality beginning at 1:27 p.m. Central Time and continues northeastward, closely following the U.S.-Canadian border from Cleveland, Ohio to Maine, where the U.S. totality ends at 3:34 p.m. Eastern Time. At Caribou, Reindeer, Maine, which is 42 miles north of the center of totality. The shadow of totality is 120 miles wide. When totality crosses the place where the 2017 total eclipse passed 7 years ago, it is making a cross over the country, and the center of the cross is next to Carbondale, Illinois. Carbon is what ashes are made of. This could have a myriad of meaning as America goes through a baptism of fire in the Holy Spirit to become part of the kingdom of His Majesty, Lord Jesus. This eclipse starts in the center of the Pacific ring of fire of the Holy Spirit and is being delivered to North America. The eclipse leaves the continent and Canada at a place called Maberly, which is derived from the name Maybell, which means lovable. On the island of Newfoundland, the village next to Maberly is Elliston, derived from Elijah. My God is Jehovah. And Elliston is considered the root cellar capital of the world. Root cellars are a place to keep a harvest fresh without refrigeration. Now let's talk about the 3 days and nights of the sign of Jonah that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 12:39-40. Back in 2019, Holy Spirit drew my attention to the fact that the Strong's Concordance number for the Greek word dawn is 2020. I knew at that time that 2020 spiritually represented a dawn and Christ's resurrection associated with it. I thought that perhaps 2020 was going to be our year of deliverance. Then COVID hit and the bottom dropped out of everything. And it was like we were being buried in the depths of the earth or being swallowed by Jonah's well. But Holy Spirit directed my attention to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, 26. For in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. 27 states, and they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility and they were in charge of opening it every morning. So that is the New King James Version. I understood at that time that the treasuries of God's house, could at least in part be prophetically applied today to the currency reset and the revaluation of bonds that will release, as Proverbs 13:22 says, the wealth of the sinner that is stored up for the righteous. But Nehemiah chapter 7 gives a very interesting detail. Then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot, till it be clear in broad day. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. And that was the New King James Version. So one of the, let us marinate on that for a moment. We got to marinate on this. Psalms 32:8 states, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Right? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. This whole entire message is so poignant on today because we must see the signs, the wonders, the miracles coming forth from the company of heaven. We must pay attention to the date and time sequence. August 21st, 2017 showed us these signs. 40 days from 1 Elul to 10 Tishri are what is known in traditional Judaism as the season of Teshuvah, repentance, right? Israel's repentance. The final 10 days from Rosh Hashanah, the first Tishri, to Yom Kippur, 10 Tishri, are known as the 10 days, is known as the days of awe. They are the final 10 days of Teshuvah, introducing the new year. And the Jewish season of Teshuvah began at sunset on August 21st, 2017. And in that 40-day period on the Gregorian calendar, Elul is the last month of the civic calendar in Judaism. Elul is the sixth month of the religious calendar. The 40-day period of Teshuvah ends on Tishri 10, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. So looking at these dates and seeing that we are in the belly of the well. Woo! This message was so powerful. I read it on Saturday, I think. This is Monday. I read it on Saturday. This has not left me. And I don't really know who the author is. I will just say the research on all of this took many seasons. And this probably could not have been written in a day. No. When we see these things, we have to concentrate. Because my research usually takes me 2 months. When I'm putting forth a message, sometimes I do some messages quickly overnight, but a 2 to 3 month process, because you're going and you are actually referring backwards in time sequence to the current day. And sometimes you must go back to look at a lot of things that have taken place in our lives. And this just stuck so much to me that I had to come on and share it with you. One of the people in the group said something about it's a lot of people. I'll share this. It's a lot of people out there who are sleeping. They haven't awoken. What is my message for today? Awaken, please. Awaken to the light of God. Because in that light, God gives us signs, wonders, and miracles. God's giving us messages. God is giving us the truth of the nation. And so we must come hither to explore the vastness, the expansiveness, the openness of God. Isaiah 41:10 states, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This message is for all the people who have waited 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 plus years in this fight for our nation. In the fight for our nation to uphold the freedom. I mean, I'm going all the way back to 40 plus years, 50 years. This is a battle of our freedom. This is a battle of the truth also. That each one must repent. What happens in the repentance of a nation? We are restored. Repentance defined. is. And Merriam Dictionary, it is the action or process of repenting, especially for misdeeds or moral shortcomings. Repentance means regret for sin or wrongdoing. Penitence, I always talk about penance, implies sad or humble realization of and regret for one's misdeeds. God is calling all of us to repent, even if we think we haven't done anything wrong. Fear not, for I am with you, he says to us. He's always with us. He wants us to come hither, closer in to him. And what am I saying? I'm saying that in this way, we shall gain our freedom. It may take a storm cloud. It may take even a war. We are in a hidden war of all proportions that nobody is understanding. Woo. We are in a war with ourselves. We are in a war with our community, our nation, our world. What are we warring for? Because a certain percentage of us is sleeping. A certain percentage of us do not want to know the truth. A certain percentage of us must come into alignment and awaken to said truth. And in knowing said truth, we can start anew. And so we are being called to come hither too. And we talk about the city of Nineveh. It was founded by Nimrod, the great grandson of Noah. Nineveh was for many years the capital city of the mighty Assyrian Empire. At the height of its prosperity, Nineveh was a great city with a population of 120,000. Hey, there's the 120 number again. It would have taken a traveler 3 days to go around Greater Nineveh with its numerous outlying suburbs and a day's journey to reach the center of the city. The most famous biblical personality connected with ancient Nineveh was the prophet Jonah. Assyrian kings were cruel and ruthless. This pagan nation had invaded and pillaged the homeland of the Israelites. On numerous occasions, when Jonah visited Nineveh about 760 BC, the prophet wanted the city destroyed, not saved, because of its wickedness. But the people repented and were spared by a compassionate God. God's love for a pagan people was deeper than his messenger could understand or accept. Nineveh was eventually destroyed about 150 years after Jonah's visit. In 612 BC, it fell after a long siege by an alliance of Medes and Babylonians and Scythians. The attackers entered the city through walls made weak by a flooding of the Khoser and Tigris rivers. The sun-dried bricks of its buildings were also dissolved. This was a remarkable fulfillment of the prophecy of Nahum. The gates of the river shall be opened and the palace shall be dissolved. Nahum, chapter 2, verse 6. Significant archaeological discoveries at Nineveh include the temples of Nabu and Ishtar, Assyrian gods, and the palaces of three Assyrian kings, Ashur ben Nepal, Ashur-nezer-pal, and Sennacherib. So, those are the Assyrian kings. One of the most important discoveries was the royal library of Ashurbanipal, which contained over 16,000 cuneiform tablets. These include Mesopotamian stories of creation and the flood, as well as many other religious and historical texts. It was to Nineveh that Sennacherib brought the tribute he exacted from King Hezekiah of Judah. Nineveh was one of the oldest cities of the ancient Near East. Excavations down to the virgin soil indicate the site was first occupied about 4500 BC. So that's some key facts on Nineveh. God's loving concern for the Gentiles is not a truth disclosed only in the New Testament. More than seven centuries before Christ, God commissioned that the Hebrew prophet Jonah proclaim a message of repentance to Assyrians. Jewish nationalism, however, blinded both God's prophets and covenant people to God's worldwide purposes of salvation. The story of Jonah is one of the clearest demonstrations of God's love and mercy for all mankind in the entire scriptures. So, I just want to bring home that we must all arise and awake to this new day, because the blessings are coming to us, and the war that we have within ourselves, among ourselves, around ourselves, must be no more. Because God is always eternally there. He says, "For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, for I am here." Right? And he lets us know this always. He always lets us know this. And why is it so poignant a message on today? Because he is calling for our people to repent. Repent before the heavens fall, before the earth fall. You must repent and come hither to thee, for I am your God. And that is the message on today. He is our God. He is calling for us to understand and know that he is God immoral and also in you. And so when we put the two together, God is above in the heavens and God is below in the earth, but God is also in man and woman. And we must come hither to the knowledge and understanding that God is always with us. He always talks about his right hand, because that right hand is the hand of righteousness, the hand that is always going to put things in place, the hand at which you must arise and awake to this new day of knowing the knowledge and understanding of the Christ. And not only will Christ be in you, Christ will let you know the truth. Because in the signs that is being portrayed through the many different changes that we all are going through on today, the signage of God being here, he's letting us know, even through destruction, he's there. Even through all of the degradation to thyself, he is there. So let God in and allow for God to be the way shower of truth in your life, because you will then have the opportunity to navigate your way through this thing called life. Navigate the ups and downs, the highs and lows. Navigate your way out of the relationships that have you bound. Navigate your way to a promising position. Navigate your way to the truth that God is there holding your right hand. Because the righteousness of you and the righteousness of God must be hand in hand. And within the two, the culmination of that brings the truth that all things that you are entering into is not going to fail. Because God is not a failure. For God does not fail thee. He lets us know that. God will never fail us. And so you know with that right hand of righteousness, God will prevail. And he always does with the truth. How do we know when truth is? Because God will give you a sign. God will give you the confirmations through many resources. And God will give you himself. Just listen to your heartbeat. God is there. So in my closing remark, let's say a prayer right quick. In the name of my beloved, mighty I Am Presence, the one true source that is anchored ever so intimately within thee, we love and adore thee. We honor thee. We are always ever present in thee, manifesting in our reality that which needs to be the truth of all things. We look to you now, Heavenly Father, to usher in on this day, Monday, the love that is needed. The message spoke of signs, April 8th, 2024, there will be signs brought for North America coming out of the island and Mexico, Mazatlan. We're asking for the assistance during the eclipse. Whatever destruction, whatever miracles that you have for this nation and the rest of the world, we honor you on today. We seek you and all of the truth. We know that in the totality of all things righteous, you are there. You say you are the one who goes before us. You are the one who is with us. You will not leave us or forsake us. You will not fear us, for thine needeth not fear you. But we know in Deuteronomy 31:8, it is written, you are always there with us. You are the one going before the storm. You are the one going before all wars. You are the one that is going into the lake of fires and coming out with peace for us all, this nation and the rest of the world. We honor you in peace. We honor you because we want the peace in our nation. We want the peace around the globe. We want the peace in our lives on today. We uphold you, hallelujah, in that said peace and in the love, offering each one a piece of you. As we awaken to this knowledge and understanding that you are ever present in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul and spirit, you walk with us. You have that right hand of righteousness. And we see that in all of these things, you guide us along and instruct us in said peace, said truth, said love and understanding. So we must clear our hearts and our minds on today to usher in that with which is the truth. We must awaken to this understanding that you are always present with us. We seek you on today, Heavenly Father, ushering in our lives the peace that is needed, the love that is needed for us to understand it all. We must be sincere. We must awaken to this now. In our homes, we find things that aren't right, but you said for us to abide in you. And that is where we find our comforter, resting and abiding in the knowing that you are always ever present. You are always with us. And so whatever is going on in our homes, we ask, Lord Michael, come now. We ask that our blessed Paul the Venetian come now as Archangel Michael protect us. Paul the Venetian, send the love here. In that which is needing healing, we rest in the Master Hilarion, bringing forth all healing. Pallas Athena, bringing in the said truth of each one. That which is spoken, that which we see, that which we hear, that which we know of, send the truth now. I want to only see truth in all things. I want to hear truth in all things. I no longer want to receive darkness. I want to rest in my intention on today, for those intentions I send up must come down. Those beautiful intentions and affirmations coming forth and shining in my life, in my heart, in my mind. My soul and spirit cries out to you on today. I am all truth. I am all love. I am all peace. I am all that I am, which is the Christ presence within me. Peace I leave with you, says John 14:27. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Lord God, I ask for peace. Let it reign in my spouse. Let love reign in my spouse. Let love reign in my children on today. Let the peace be there in my children on today. Let love reign in my household. Let love reign in my headspace. Let love be there. Oh, presence of the diamond heart, I love thee. I worship thee. I give you praise. All the honor and praise be with you on today, because I know that you are always there connected to me, and I can always rest in the knowing that God is in my heart. God is there. Anything I should ever need, anything I should ever want, God is there. Resting in the abiding and the knowing that He is ever present. And I thank Him for it. When I have struggles, when I have strife, God is reigning forever in my life. He's resting there, watching, listening, abiding, safeguarding and protecting me. So I ask everything that I've just said, be in me, be in my household, be in my community, be in my nation, be in the world. Now and forever, we must love on today. And in that love, show the truth of God, show the strength of God, allowing for God to always be met with the peace of God, offering it to all that I come into contact with. All of it that I come into contact with, the people need to hear it. The people need to see it in me. Let all that I come into contact with and those that I work with just see the peace in me, see that protectiveness of me, see the love in me, See that which is leadership in me. See that I arise, I wake, I shine to a new day of thanksgiving that God has offered unto me. That which is the qualities of God, the virtues of God, the strength of God being met in me. That I may project that out unto the world on this day, this new day, where the mercies of God and the grace of God is here, always operating within me. And so we must wake and shine our lives on others, that we all are blessed. We are blessed with God on the inside of us. Just bring Him out of us and allow for Him to go before us in the peace. As He leaves us in peace, He gives us the peace, not as the world gives to Him or through Him, but not as the world gives, do He gives to us. Let not our hearts be troubled. Let Him be the peace that we need in our lives. Let Him be the guidance that we need to guide our lives. Let Him be that in the world, of the world, and for the world, that peace that is needed. God will always be there as He keeps the peace, that perfect peace in us. Let us all reside in the peace in our heads space of us, resting in the knowledge of peace being performed in us, all through us. Let our minds be at rest in the peace. Let it not be in turmoil, but at rest now. Let our minds and our hearts be healed in the peace now. Restore our level of peace now. Let not no thing be bothered by the turbulence of this nation. No thing be a disturbance. No thing be a distress. But allow for the peace of my heart to be at rest. The peace of our hearts to be at rest now and forevermore. Let us all say, I am that I am. I am all peace. I am all love. I am all that I am the truth. I am the way. I am the light eternal, lighting every space of me with the pure light from out of the great central sun. That dazzling white light hitting all points north, east, south, and west of me. Allow for the peace and the light of God to never fail us, to always be with us and ever present and engaging, always acting in that. We honor thy love, thy light. We honor thy God of love, God of all things, God of the human being. Light us up, Lord, with thy light of truth. Let the nations and all the world know that we are here. We are stronger. We are purified. We are sanctified we are glorified in the light of God. Always. We thank you, Heavenly Father. It is so done in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and World Mother, and so it is. Almighty I am, Almighty I am, Almighty I am. This is Tammy Dennis signing off. May the grace of God, may the peace of God, may the light of God, may the truth of God rest and abide with you always until we meet again.